Welcome to this episode of the Correspondent Podcast, Up the Creek. I'm Harry Millman, a fund manager at Coronation.
And I'm Marie Antelme, economist at Coronation.
Today we're diving into a serious topic, one that affects every single person living in South Africa, the water crisis. We'll explore how water shortages are impacting the South African economy and what's being done to address this growing problem. Marie, for the last 12 months you've done a deep dive into these issues. The crisis has often been compared to the electricity shortages and load shedding. Do you think this is a fair comparison?
Harry, it's a question I've been getting a lot lately, and there are several similarities, but also some very important differences.
So let's hear them.
So like load shedding, the crisis stems from system failures, years of underinvestment and poor maintenance, inadequate planning. And both crises carry a high economic cost, and at least part of the solution will need the public and private sector to work together. But there are really important differences. So while it's inconvenient, it is certainly possible to live without electricity, but it is not possible to live without water. This is an altogether different crisis. And the second thing is that Eskom is a centralized parastatal, generating and transmitting electricity across the country. Water is a limited national resource, but it is also a much more complex system. And most of the immediate challenges are specific to localities. This means that they are affected by a range of local issues.
Thanks, Marie. So what you're saying is that we don't have one national crisis, but rather a series of local crises. Can you give us a sense of the full scope of the issue?
Scope is a good word to use, Harry, because water issues are both broad and complex. Just to begin with, South Africa starts off as a water-scarce country. On average, we get 460 millimetres of rainfall per year, compared to a global average of 860. The distribution of this rainfall across the country is uneven. Some regions, mostly in the east, get more rain, while those in the west get less. So these issues are affected by climate change, by aging infrastructure, and in some areas, regulations, which are actually no longer fit for purpose. And all of these issues need to be addressed at national level. But the challenges at local level have their own individual characteristics. Let's take Gauteng, for example. Gauteng gets most of its water from other parts of the country. It uses water from the integrated Vaal River system, a system of 19 dams and rivers, which moves water to regional reservoirs that are tapped for local supply. This process is also influenced by local demand and in some cases by electricity, which moves that water around. Excessive demand and interruptions to energy supply affect water in these reservoirs, and many of them are already leaking. In 2004, the Lesotho Highlands Water Project Phase 1 was completed, supplying 780 million cubic litres of water to Gauteng. The second phase, phase two, for an additional 490 million cubic litres, was set to be completed in 2019, but it was delayed and construction only started at the end of 2022. This will now only be finished in 2028 or even later. Until that time, the amount of water that is available for Gauteng is limited. So the system needs to balance this limited supply with a growing population. The population of Gauteng is 23% bigger than it was in 2011. And it's not just population growth, it's also consumption. Gauteng consumes 279 litres per person per day. This compares to 173 as a global average and 218 for the national average. And then on top of it, Gauteng water loss is chronic. 35% of treated water is either unbilled, or it's lost to leaks, or it's lost through illegal connections. So there are a lot of things which need to be addressed to improve the situation.
This is obviously a huge challenge to people in their day-to-day lives, and water scarcity has public health implications too. But what about the businesses? What impact are we seeing on companies, especially in those sectors where water is crucial?
Businesses, like everyone else, require water to operate. For some businesses, obviously, water may be a core input into the production process, and not having a reliable supply is an existential risk to those businesses. Others may experience supply chain or input disruption, and while a lack of reliable water can also create operational inefficiency, which drives up costs. Even in commercial and professional services sectors, where water may not be an input into the business operations, all businesses need drinking water and sanitation services for their employees. Just recently, the Constitutional Court was unable to hold in-person hearings because there wasn't any reliable water supply. At last measure, there were about 23 million people living in Gauteng, and the province accounts for about 30% of national GDP. KwaZulu-Natal is the second biggest province in terms of GDP at about 16%. This means that almost half of the country's GDP is exposed to regions which do not have reliable water resources to conduct business.
So over the last 2 years, there have been several moves to address these water shortages. We're up the creek and, like to hope, not without a paddle. What's your take? Which of these interventions can make a real difference?
Well, Harry, sometimes it takes a crisis to get things done. But seriously, there is a lot being done, particularly at national level. The Department of Water and Sanitation and National Treasury have been doing a lot to address this crisis. But the challenge is complicated by the way in which the Constitution assigns different responsibilities to national, provincial, and local governments. National government oversees water resources, while municipalities handle the delivery of water services. One level of government can't force another one to act. They must work together. That's especially tricky in areas with complex political dynamics.
Well, it does sound like there's cooperation between national and local government, and this will be key to finding workable solutions. I guess the question is, what have the Department of Water and Sanitation and National Treasury done so far?
I think, Harry, we're starting to see some cooperation between the spheres of government, but certainly the Department of Water and Sanitation and National Treasury have done quite a lot. So the first thing to highlight is that DWS reinstated the drop reports, which hadn't been published since 2014. These reports are vital for tracking progress and pinpointing areas that need intervention. There are three reports. The Blue Drop Report measures the ability of municipalities to provide safe, clean drinking water and manage water quality effectively. The Green Drop Report evaluates the condition of wastewater treatment facilities, and the No Drop Report focuses on water loss and the efficiency of water distribution. The Department of Water and Sanitation has also brought an amendment bill before Parliament. The Water Services Amendment Bill is currently being discussed, and if it's passed, it will allow DWS to license qualified private companies to provide, maintain, and ensure safe and stable municipal water services. And then lastly, National Treasury is working on strategies to better manage trading services and ultimately enable private investment in the sector. The main metros, are now required to provide separate financial accounts for water services, so there will be better information about the financial viability of metro water services. We've also seen some interventions at local level, including some targeted interventions in Gauteng.
Well, that's good to hear. Can you share some of these local interventions with us?
Sure, Harry. National Treasury's City Support Program has become part of the Metro's approved turnaround strategy. This will help improve accountability and also help direct revenue at maintenance in the sector. Then Johannesburg has introduced overnight pressure management to help these reservoirs replenish and reduce risk of further leakage. Contractors and Rand Water are supplying trucks to support leak detection and repair in the province. And DWS has launched the Gauteng Water Dashboard, which is an online leak and water detection monitor, materially improving available information about where those leaks and outages are occurring. And the intention is for this to become interactive, and that will then further improve the quality of information that this dashboard provides. The city has also started removing some of the illegal connections. And then lastly, Rand Water and the Platform for Water Secure Gauteng are engaged in actively educating users to reduce consumption. So really, there are a multi-pronged interventions taking place on the ground.
So something we haven't spoken about yet, but which is a building issue and relevant here, is the municipal debt owed to these water boards. What can you tell us about this?
So, Harry, the water boards actually have a key function in the supply chain of water. The water boards buy water from the Department of Water and Sanitation, and the local authorities buy water from the boards to distribute to paying customers. This system was designed to be self-sustaining. We all know about outstanding municipal debt to Eskom. This is the water equivalent. Total debt owed to the water boards by municipalities is currently just over 23 billion rand. Two of the nine boards, Vaal Central and Magalies Water, are facing imminent bankruptcy. If they go bankrupt, they will not be able to supply water to their constituencies as they collapse. The Department of Water and Sanitation, National Treasury and COGTA are trying really hard to coordinate an intervention, part of which could even see National Treasury withholding funding from the municipalities, known as their equitable share, until these entities fulfill their billing and governance conditions to ensure payment. This is a very serious issue.
Thanks, Marie. And I guess final question for this series is, as we head into 2025, how is this water crisis likely to shape South Africa's economic outlook?
Harry, the water crisis will certainly continue to have an impact on South Africa's economic outcomes, but it is unlikely to derail the budding cyclical recovery we're starting to see. Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal are important economic centres, and while they're affected, growth will still suffer. That said, there is growing evidence that South Africa should enjoy a cyclical uplift into 2025. With lower inflation and interest rates, a recovery in real income growth, coupled with improving confidence, should all be supportive of stronger growth. Also, there's a lot of planned investment in the pipeline, not on the drawing board stuff, but in various stages of preparation and implementation. Seeing these projects start to break ground, and maybe water-related capex will become a bigger part of this, should also help improve the prospects of stronger GDP growth.
Mary, thank you for your very insightful views. We're all concerned, obviously, about the water situation, but it is encouraging to hear that steps are being taken at various levels of government to address this crisis and also to improve the management and infrastructure.